You Can Sit Beside Me When the World Comes Down. Written by Sunset Mog. Read by Genopod. Fandom, Bandom RPF, Panic at the Disco. Come on, Spencer pleads, elbowing Ryan in the side. It's just one extra kicking practice. How many times have I had to hang around and wait for you after school? Never, Ryan says, shutting his locker with what Spencer thinks is undue force. Like, once, maybe. Spencer rolls his eyes. You're such a liar, he says. You're deluded and you're a liar. He pokes Ryan in the side. It's your fault I play rugby in the first place. You could at least say you're going to wait for me after practice. Oh my God, Ryan says, shaking his head. You're such a dick. I told you that you could hang around the Arts Magazine office with me. I gave you the lame emo poetry submissions to sort through. It is not my fault you went off and tried out for the stupid rugby team. I was bored, Spencer points out. The Arts Magazine is boring. So is rugby, Ryan says, lamely, which is a lie. Rugby is awesome. Spencer thinks that Ryan just pretends he doesn't like it, to annoy Spencer. Spencer rolls his eyes again. I'm going to be late, he says, setting off down the hallway. Come meet me at the field after. Seriously? Extra kicking practice? Ryan asks, dumping his books in his messenger bag and trying to force the zipper closed. You don't do enough of that normally. You have to stay even later. Spencer narrowly avoids walking backwards into the door. A fly half's gotta do what a fly half's gotta do, he yells, and the few remaining people in the hallway put their arms in the air and cheer. For reasons that Spencer can't exactly explain, their school doesn't play football or even soccer, so everyone loves the rugby team. He's been the first string fly half since the end of his sophomore year, and everyone knows his name and wants to high-five him in the hallway. It's totally amazing. Awesome! Ryan calls after him. Yeah, 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 you're going to take us all the way to state. I get it. Spencer waves his fist in the air and grins. He's pretty sure that Ryan's never going to get over Spencer being one of the most popular kids in school. Hurry up, Ryan yells from outside the locker room. Geez, what took you so long? He asks, kicking at the wall by the door as Spencer comes out, rolling his eyes. Spencer's figured out by now that Ryan has a low boredom threshold when it comes to sports. You could come in and talk to me in there, you know, Spencer says, shrugging and pulling his bag over his head. You don't have to stand out here and yell through the door. Whatever, Ryan says. You learn anything life-affecting today? My kicking average is getting better, Spencer tells him, and I got in some pretty good tackles, too. Awesome, Ryan says flatly. That'll change the world. Fuck off, Spencer says, elbowing him and rooting around in his pockets for his gummy worms. You want some? Ryan grabs a handful and then takes his time about choosing which one he wants to eat. In the end, he sticks the whole handful in his mouth, just like always. Spencer waits until Ryan's chewing before he says, You coming to the game this Friday? Ryan raises an eyebrow and tries to chew faster. I'll take that as a yes, Spencer says, before Ryan's had a chance to speak. Fucker, Ryan says, coughing. You can sit front and center, Spencer tells him, as they head down the steps and out into the parking lot. Only seniors can drive to school, so Ryan and Spencer ride their bikes in. Now you want to come over and do homework or what? Ryan rolls his eyes again. Why else would I hang out and wait for you all this time? Because you're my best friend, Spencer says with a grin, and because I let you play video games after we're done with math. No, you have to remind me again why I'm even friends with you, Ryan says, later on. He's sprawled across Spencer's bed with his math homework spread out in front of him, throwing pencils at Spencer's head. You're so weird. Spencer concentrates on his world history textbook and curls his toes into the carpet. "So what if I like things neat?" he says. "It's easier when you know where everything is." "Hmm," Ryan says, shaking his head. "They have a name for people like you. Freak." "Being organized does not make me a freak," Spencer says, turning the page in his textbook and not looking up. "Having a clean room is not a bad thing." "Yeah," Ryan says absentmindedly, standing up and stretching. "Whatever." Spencer leans over and bumps Ryan's knee with his elbow. Ryan tumbles down onto the bed and catches the heel of his hands on his homework, scrunching the pages. "Dick," he says. He rolls over and pokes Spencer in the shoulder. "Hey, can I check my email?" "Waiting for anything in particular?" Spencer asks. "No," Ryan says, and doesn't look up. "Okay," Spencer says. "So you're not checking for anything specific then? Not an email from a particular mysterious person?" "No," Ryan says. "I'm waiting for advice from our English teacher. He was going to email me this thing. It's okay. I'll check when I get home." "You're such a crappy liar," Spencer tells him, shutting his book with a thump and clambering onto the bed next to Ryan. He elbows him, and Ryan elbows back. "You want to stay for dinner? My dad's going to make spaghetti, I think, and you haven't for a while. My mom says she's forgotten what you look like. I reminded her, though. I told her you were the skinny kid with the weird scarves and the frilly shirts." "Ass." "But, sure," Ryan says, after a beat. "I'll call my dad and tell him." "Cool," Spencer says, and shuffles up the bed so he can walk his feet up the wall. Ryan had joined the school arts magazine approximately 3 minutes into their freshman year and had proceeded to devote 90% of his time to the magazine ever since. The other 10% he divided equally between Spencer and sleeping. Sometimes Spencer thought that he deserved a higher percentage of Ryan's attention, particularly as the school arts magazine was the most undersubscribed publication on campus, including the annual janitorial review. But at this point, Spencer tends to remind himself of the stupid amount of time he devotes to playing rugby, and decides not to complain too much. Spencer's mom still complains every time Spencer comes home with a bag full of muddy rugby shirts and shorts, or when he comes home from a game or from practice with a black eye and covered in bruises and scrapes. Spencer just rolls his eyes and says that she shouldn't have sent him to some weird-ass private school if she hadn't wanted him to play some weird-ass private school sport. At least it wasn't croquet or lacrosse. "Imagine that," Spencer says, "if you had to tell people that I was your son, the croquet player." "That would be embarrassing," his mom says, mock seriously. "I'd have to pretend we weren't related. There's not a chance you want to switch to croquet, is there?" "Mom," Spencer says, rolling his eyes. "No, really, Spencer, it's okay." His mom is sorting out the laundry in front of the washing machine. "If you want to switch to croquet, I'd cope. Ryan could be my son instead. That's okay with you, Ryan, right?" Ryan's leaning against the door jamb, picking at the skin by his thumbnail. "Fine by me," he says. "Spencer, looks like you're out of a job." "Ryan," Spencer says, "don't believe the hype. She'll make you fold clean laundry all weekend and babysit when you wanted to go out. You don't really want her. She's like a crazy lady when you're not around, honestly." "Spencer James Smith," his mom says, flicking him in the legs with one of his dirty hoodies. Spencer rolls his eyes and moves out of the way. "Stop telling Ryan lies. He won't want to come around anymore, and we don't see him enough as it is." Ryan just grins. "I'm over here every night," he says. "How can you not see me enough?" Spencer's mom stands up and passes Spencer a basket full of wet laundry. "You can hang these out," she says to Spencer. "I'm going to go and make Ryan a drink. See if we can't persuade him to come over here more often and relieve me of your company, Spence." Mom, Spencer says. Laundry, Spencer. His mom presses a kiss to his temple and then slides her arm around Ryan's shoulders. Are you sure you won't rethink that adoption thing, Ryan? I'd swap you for Spencer, you know. I'm really feeling the love, Spencer says dryly as he starts to hang out the clothes. So, Ryan says, after they're done with dinner and Spencer is pulling out the controllers for his Xbox. I can check my emails, right? Sure, Spencer says easily. As long as you don't mind me reading your emails from your creepy psychotic stalker over your shoulder. She is not a creepy psychotic stalker, Ryan says. And anyway, I don't care about those emails. I told you, I'm waiting for something from my French teacher. Thought it was your English teacher, Spencer says with a smirk. Unless Ms. Jacobs and Mr. Arnold are both sending you emails outside of school hours. Shut up, Ryan says. You're such a dick. You gonna let me check or not? Of course, Spencer says, but only when you admit you're only checking to see if your stalker sent you an email or not. Fine, Ryan says, kicking Spencer in the shin. Fine, okay, I just want to see if I've got a new email. Whatever, okay? Aw, Spencer says mildly. It's cute that you're so attached. I am not attached, Ryan points out. I am just interested, that's all. And it could totally be a guy, Spencer says. Dude, you're being stalked by a guy. It's kind of gay. Bisexuality now is what metrosexuality was for the 90s, Ryan says loftily. Spencer snorts and pokes Ryan in the thigh. You're such a fucking idiot. Yeah, well, Ryan says. I hang around with you, so... Spencer insists on booting up the computer for Ryan and pulling up a chair so he can sit beside him. Ryan eyes him carefully. You don't actually have to watch what I'm doing, you know. I do, Spencer says earnestly. I'm looking out for your welfare. I've heard about the internet, you know. Old men can prey on young, impressionable people like you. I just want to make sure your emails aren't coming from creepy pensioners or Miss Jackson from the school office. I'm concerned for your well-being, Ryan. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, Ryan says. Better to hate me now than to regret it later, Spencer tells him. Now log on and see if you've got any weird emails from stalkers. Come on. Ryan grinds his teeth and logs onto his email. Ryan's been getting these weird emails since the beginning of their sophomore year, ever since he took over being the editor of the arts magazine and opened up the centerfold as a place for kids to submit their photos in the hopes of being published. It's never exactly been popular, mostly because the arts magazine has a readership of pretty much Ryan and, by force, Spencer. But Ryan slogs on regardless. Spencer thinks it's kind of sweet, Ryan's dedication to this magazine that precisely no one reads. But still, Spencer values his life, so he never tells Ryan that. Spencer might be better at rugby tackling, but he's pretty sure that Ryan's better at taking people down with the power of his mind. The weird emails started coming a few weeks into the semester. Always the same email address, but never signed. They've always had a couple of photos attached, taken on campus or around the school buildings. And one of them always, always has Ryan in shot somewhere. Whether it's his school bag or the back of his head in the hallway, or him waiting for Spencer by the rugby pitch and half-acidly doodling in a notebook. Ryan and Spencer have spent over a year not being able to figure out who it is who takes the pictures and emails them to Ryan. The photography centerfold has belonged exclusively to the elusive emailer ever since the first time they sent their photos in, when Ryan had sat down beside Spencer and said, "Fuck, Spence, look at these." It had been Spencer who had noticed Ryan first, the corner of their table in the cafeteria, the back of Ryan's head and the strap of his school bag lying across the bench. Ryan's eyes had widened. He'd still put the photos on the centerfold, though, that issue and every issue since. Come on, Spencer says. Hurry up. See if she's attached photos of the bodies of the last people she stalked and kidnapped. Shut up, Ryan says, and hovers over the email in his inbox a few seconds longer than strictly necessary, probably just to annoy Spencer. Spencer elbows him in the side and tries to grab the mouse off Ryan. Hey, Ryan says, keeping a firm hold of the mouse. Fuck off, this is my creepy stalker email. Get your own. It's like an episode of CSI happening right in front of me, Spencer says nostalgically. I'll get to be in all the flashback scenes. It's kind of beautiful. You're kind of weird, Ryan tells him, and opens the email. Let me see the photos, Spencer says, poking Ryan in the side. I can't see. Get off, Ryan says. And fuck, Spence. There's a message. Fuck off, no there isn't, Spencer says. I can hear you two swearing, you know, Spencer's mom calls from across the hall. How does she do that? Ryan says, under his breath. Super freaky hearing, Spencer says quietly. She's like a mutant or something. Spencer James Smith, his mom yells. Fine, Spencer calls back. Jeez, you can have her, you know, if you want, Ryan. I'll sell her cheaply. I am not for sale, young man, his mom calls back. But I will swap you for a cup of coffee and a cupcake. Done, Ryan shouts back. Excellent, his mom says. And keep the swearing down, boys. I don't want the twins picking up your language until they're at least old enough to know what it means, okay? Spencer rolls his eyes and leans over so he's got a better view of the computer screen. What's it say? He asks, elbowing Ryan out of the way. It says, fuck off, Spencer. Does not, Spencer says, affronted. You're making that up. And my mom won't want to adopt you if you keep swearing, you know. She'll send you back with a big label on it saying, unwanted. Ryan shoves him. Shut up, he says, and read this. The email says, I really like your smile. And, it's okay, I hate tater tots too. Alongside a photo of Ryan poking his lunch in the cafeteria in a desultory manner. When did we have tater tots? Spencer asks. I like tater tots. When did you have tater tots without me? Ryan stares at him and then leans over and flicks him on the forehead. Are you deliberately being stupid just to annoy me? He asks. My creepy psychotic stalker likes my smile. And watched you eat tater tots, Spencer says sadly. I can't believe I miss tater tots. Spencer, Ryan says carefully, shut up and pay attention to the fact that my creepy stalker likes my smile. Spencer just rolls his eyes. He, or she, has been taking your photo every 2 weeks for a year. What part of they like you aren't you getting? Ryan shrugs his shoulders. Oh my god, Spencer says. You are such a loser. I can't even express how much of a loser you are. Shut up. Should I write something back? Yeah, stop fucking stalking me, you freak, would be a start. Spencer! Sorry, Mom. Really, Ryan says. What am I going to write? Spencer says, who are you? It's just a thought. Ryan rolls his eyes and carefully types, who are you? And presses send. Ryan sends him a text at 8:00 in the morning that says, you're coming to see a play with me tonight. Spencer buries his face in his pillows and groans. He opens one eye and types, I hate you, and sends it straight back. After a moment, he relents and sends, what play and when? His phone beeps a minute later. Scenes from musicals at 7:30. I'm outside yours. Get up. We are going in early. Spencer hits the call button on the phone and buries his face in the pillows again. What the fuck time is it? Spencer asks gruffly when Ryan picks up. Dunno, Ryan says. Like 6:30, almost? Maybe. Get up, get in the fucking shower, put some clothes on, and come to fucking school, Spence. Why are we even friends? Spencer says, crawling out of bed. I hate everything about you. Get up. Come in, you idiot, Spencer says, yawning. Dad's probably making coffee. You can go tell him when he's doing it wrong. In the magazine office, Spencer drops his bag down on the floor and sits on the edge of the desk while Ryan boots the computer up. What are we even doing here? Spencer asks. I could be in bed right now. I'm holding this against you, you know. Yeah, yeah, whatever. Ryan pokes the screen dubiously. I want to get a head start on the next issue. Spencer rolls his eyes and kicks Ryan. You mean you want to check to see if your psycho stalkers emailed you back yet? Shut up, Ryan says. Do not. Do too, Spencer says. And what the fuck are you dragging me along to tonight anyway? Scenes from the musicals? What the hell is that? Ryan shrugs and refuses to meet Spencer's eye. This is a bad sign. Spencer is fairly sure that whatever it is they're going to see tonight will be both miserable and horrible to listen to. Spencer has seen far too many badly done plays, musicals, reviews, skits, evenings of musical serenades, ninth grade recorder club shows, and drama club productions since Ryan joined the arts magazine. Spencer's been to pretty much every production the school has put on since he started there. He spent more evenings than he can count, wincing at wrong notes, and composing Ryan's obituary in his head. Ryan takes it all pretty seriously, though. And he has a clipboard and a notebook and one of those weird pens with the light at the end, so he can see to write when the auditorium lights go down. Spencer mostly just sits there and falls asleep if it's boring, or laughs if it's funny. It's scenes from musicals, Spencer. It's not rocket science. The clue's in the title, pretty much. Spencer kicks Ryan again, just for fun. Why do I let you drag me along to all of these stupid evenings? Most of them make me want to poke my own eyes out. Not all of them, he thinks, vaguely thinking about that kid from his history class who is in most of the shows, and is pretty good. He contents himself with poking Ryan repeatedly in the shoulder until Ryan snaps and punches him in the arm. Some of them are all right, Ryan tells him, pulling open his backpack and dragging out his notebook and his arts magazine folder. It's pretty big. Spencer blinks slowly. You remember the time the drama club put on the Caucasian chalk circle, right? Ryan winces. Yeah, Spencer says. You remember. The time the drama club put on Bertolt Brecht's The Caucasian Chalk Circle is probably etched onto Spencer's brain for the rest of forever. Not content with putting on a play that the cast had to read in translation, the drama department had decided that the play was a wonderful opportunity to showcase the music department's budding composition class, and had set the play to music, and had made it more relevant by setting it in the modern-day Middle East. Ryan's review would have been legendary if anyone actually ever read the arts magazine. Spencer thinks that's what stopped him getting suspended in the end. Spencer still hasn't forgiven Ryan for making him sit through it in the first place. You want to go get me a muffin? Ryan asks brightly, changing the subject. I'll pay. No way, Spencer says. You're not dragging me into school this early and then not letting me see if your stalkers replied or not. Ryan makes a noise that sounds like a growl, but moves over so that Spencer can see the screen. Oh, he has, Spencer says. That's really cute. Open it up so we can see if he's listing the ways he's going to make you scream before he kills you. Remind me why you're my best friend again? Ryan asks. But he opens the email up anyway. Can you get female serial killers? Spencer asks while the page loads. The school computers are pretty good, apart from the piece of shit ones they let Ryan have for the arts magazine. Shut up, Ryan says. Maybe they're just shy. Or psychopathic, Spencer suggests. But at least they like your smile, huh? Ryan punches him in the arm. Is there a message? Spencer asks, peering over Ryan's shoulder. Does it say, I've loved you forever, Ryan Ross. Much love. The hairy janitor with the creepy beard. Come run away with me to Canada, where we can make sweet love and nobody can hear you scream. Ryan wrinkles his nose. Dude, he says, you're really fucked up. Says you, Spencer retorts. You're the one getting all hot and bothered over some stalker with a camera. I am not, Ryan says. I am not getting hot and bothered about anyone. And they're not a stalker. They're just shy. Shy like freaky, Spencer says. Shy like we don't even know if they're a girl or a guy. Whatever. Give me your money. I'm gonna go get coffee. And muffins, Ryan says. Get me one of those blueberry ones with the frosting on top. They are an affront to muffins everywhere, Spencer says, holding his hand out while Ryan looks in his bag for his wallet. And one day, you will be struck down for even thinking about wanting one. Shut up, Ryan says. There isn't a message, just a photo of the coffee bar. Maybe they're a loser caffeine freak like you, Spencer says, ducking out of the way of Ryan's kick. I'll keep my eye out while I'm waiting in line. If anyone looks like a weird-ass stalker and is stroking a picture of you, I'll be sure to point them in your direction. Ryan just throws his pen at Spencer's head. Spencer spends his lunch period practicing his kicking out on the rugby pitch. Ryan sits on the bleachers and does his math homework and refuses to look even when Spencer yells his name after he scores 5 conversions in a row. When Spencer's finished up, he comes to collapse next to Ryan on the bench, nudging him with his foot. Did you see that? He asks. I'm on fire today. You're amazing, Ryan says. Well done. You kicked a ball through some post. You should get a prize. Shut up, Spencer says, rolling his eyes. You know you think I'm cool, really. Maybe it's just hidden somewhere really deep down inside, Ryan says. Did you do this yet? He asks, shoving his math book down on the bench. I'm stuck on 3. You're my favorite, too, Spencer tells him, and leans over to steal his pencil. I think this is the most miserable I've ever been, Spencer confides, 15 minutes into the first half of scenes from the musicals. Ryan, leaning over his clipboard and scribbling furiously, shushes him. There are approximately 23 people in the audience, all of them parents, and all of them are at least 5 rows of chairs in front of them. Spencer thinks he could probably start to shout, and it wouldn't make too much of a difference. I hate you, he goes on, and he wonders if he wishes for earplugs long enough, whether they'll just magically appear in his lap. He really should have learnt by now to bring a pair. On the stage in front of them, a freshman with red hair and too much blush is singing "The Sun'll Come Out Tomorrow." Luckily, the pianist is either deaf or has a great deal of respect for the audience. The piano part is almost loud enough to drown out most of the technical errors, although the failure of the singer to stay in tune for more than 3 bars at a time is still relatively obvious. Shut up and be quiet, Ryan tells him, or else I won't come and see you play this Friday. Blackmail makes you an ugly person, Ryan. It makes me pretty on the inside, Ryan says, without inflection. Spencer moves his chair 5 inches to the left. Oh, thank fuck for that, Spencer manages, once the intermission rolls around and the curtain drops on a particularly terrible version of "You Can't Get a Man with a Gun." Can we go now? No, Ryan says resolutely. If you're going to make me come to your stupid rugby game, then you're staying for the whole of this stupid play. Musical, Spencer points out grumpily. Did I mention that you didn't have to audition to get a slot on stage tonight? You just signed up and voila, Ryan says. Instant time on the stage. Worst idea ever, Spencer says. I hope you're going to say that in your review. That, Ryan says. That and other things. Spencer sinks lower in his chair and wishes for death or earplugs. Ryan keeps poking him in the leg with the end of his stupid light-up pen, so Spencer starts wishing for his death instead until the lights go down and the piano starts up again. Then Spencer blinks and sits up a little straighter in his chair, then sinks down lower in case Ryan notices and starts wondering why Spencer has a sudden attack of the jitters. The singer on stage is the only reason Spencer hasn't fallen asleep in every single one of the shows he's come to see with Ryan over the past couple of years. The singer's a junior, like them, and he's in Spencer's last period history class, too. His name is Brendan Urie, and he's been in pretty much every production he could fit in the rehearsal time for. He was even in that terrible production of The Caucasian Chalk Circle. It isn't like Spencer's ever really spoken to him or anything. He doesn't even know Brendan. He just, well, he likes to see him on stage. Brendan's good at singing, and he's good at acting, and he's even pretty good at dancing. He always looks like he's having fun, and sometimes Spencer feels like Brendan's smiling directly at him, although he knows that's just a trick of the light. Everyone knows you can't pick out individual faces from the stage. But sometimes Spencer likes to think that Brendan's smiling at him. It makes him feel kind of, well, warm inside. He smiles back sometimes, even though he knows that Brendan can't see him. Spencer is kind of smiling now, even though this whole show is lame, and Brendan singing Luck Be a Lady isn't enough to raise scenes from the musicals out of the bottom two productions he's ever seen in his whole life, ever. He knows that Brendan can't see him or anything, but Spencer maybe kind of wants Brendan to know that someone out in the audience is enjoying listening to him sing. Not that Spencer is, or anything. Still, he's kind of the best thing about the show so far. "Thank fuck that's over," Spencer says, once they're out of the auditorium and trudging across the parking lot to where they've locked their bikes. "Now you know what I feel like every time I have to sit through a whole stupid rugby game," Ryan says dryly, pulling his backpack onto both shoulders and tightening the straps. Spencer says. "That's such a lie. You like rugby." "I like you," Ryan says, kneeling down and fiddling with his bike. "I'm pretty ambivalent about the rugby part." "Dude," Spencer says, and bumps his knee against Ryan's. Ryan busies himself with his bike lock. "Smith!" Spencer stands up, looking around. It's the rugby coach, Mr. O'Brien. Apparently, he used to play rugby for Ireland or something back in the 90s. He's jogging across the parking lot towards them. "Hi," Spencer says, wiping his hands on his jeans. "It's an important game tomorrow night, Smith," Coach says. Ryan mutters something under his breath. Spencer nudges him with his foot. "Yes, Coach," Spencer says. "You need a good night's sleep," Mr. O'Brien goes on. "Can't have our fly half running on empty now, can we?" "Of course not," Ryan says, from somewhere down by Spencer's feet. Spencer nudges a little harder. "You get yourself home now, Smith," he says. "And have an early night. Big day tomorrow." "Sure, Coach," Spencer says. "Sure thing." "Suck up," Ryan hisses after Mr. O'Brien says goodnight and jogs back across the parking lot to where he's parked his car. "Shut up," Spencer says, rolling his eyes. "Come on, Mom will make us both a milkshake or something." Ryan rolls his eyes in the gathering dusk. "Sure thing," he says sarcastically. Spencer does what he has to do and pushes Ryan's bike over. "Race you," he says, and sets off across the parking lot on his BMX. Spencer kind of loves game days. Ryan pretty much doesn't, but mostly because he's dead inside. Spencer's thinking of making him a pin. From the moment they bike into the parking lot, Ryan trailing behind because he's a loser, there are people everywhere. Spencer always gets high-fived a lot in the hallways, mostly by people he doesn't know all that well. But on game days, he gets high-fived all day long. There's like a line of kids by the bike racks, just waiting. "Oh my god," Ryan mutters. "It's like you're their king." "I know," Spencer says smugly. "Isn't it amazing?" "Oh yeah," Ryan says. "It's like the best thing ever. I wish I were you." "Oh look," Spencer says. "They've made me a sign." Spencer has no less than 3 different spare boxes inside his locker. Aren't our combinations supposed to be, like, totally private? Ryan asks, with one eyebrow raised. He's got his arms folded, and he's leaning back against Vanessa Macy's locker. Vanessa Macy doesn't look too pleased about it, but Ryan's better at ignoring than most people. Vanessa Macy just takes her backpack to class now. Spencer's lost count of the times he's seen her in the school office, petitioning to be designated another locker. Anywhere. Anywhere away from Ryan Ross. It's kind of sweet, really, the lengths some people will go to get away from Ryan. They are, Spencer tells him, but the school office gives them out to anyone with a spirit box. I feel a whole lot more secure now, Ryan agrees. They've covered all possible security eventualities with that fearsome dedication to our privacy. Shut up, Spencer says, and kicks him. You want a cookie? No, Ryan says, wrinkling his nose. No way. Cheerleader cooties, Spencer sympathizes. He really does. He opens the second box. This one smells pretty amazing, and there's a good luck card pinned to the top. It sparkles, which is cool, but they've spelled his name wrong, which isn't. He wasn't entirely sure before now that you could spell Smith wrong. Are those snickerdoodles? Ryan asks, hooking his chin over Spencer's shoulder. Yeah, Spencer says, taking a bite. It's a shame that you totally hate the rugby team so much. I was totally going to share. Ryan makes a sound in his throat. Spencer waves the box under Ryan's nose. They smell pretty good, don't they? Ryan hisses. This sucks. I hate you. Give me a snickerdoodle. The biggest one. Nah, Spencer says, stuffing the box back in his locker and shutting the door. Not until you say how much you love the rugby team. Ryan folds his arms. Just give me one, okay? I'm going to see your stupid game, aren't I? You forgot the magic word. Please. Not that one, Spencer says with a sigh. The other one. The one that starts, I love rugby. Ryan grinds his teeth. I want the biggest one. Fine, Spencer tells him. Magic word? I love rugby, Ryan narrows his eyes, grabs a snickerdoodle, and takes a step back, all in one fluid movement. But I hate you. Good enough, Spencer says, and hands over the box. I was gonna give them all to you anyway. It's just funnier to make you beg. I want my best friend charm back, Ryan says. Never, Spencer says with a grin. You should hurry up. You're going to be late for class. So is Spencer, but no one ever gives him a late slip on game days. Spencer's kind of busy, so he skips out on lunch in the cafeteria and eats a sandwich in the office by the side of the gym, going over the game plan with Zach, their lock-in team captain, and Coach O'Brien. Ryan sends him a text message that says, "You're missing tater tots. Bet you don't love rugby now." Spencer narrows his eyes and concentrates on the game plan. On game days, they finish classes early and hold a pep rally in the school gym. Ryan has been known to complain for hours about how pep rallies undermine the education system and result in students graduating without achieving their academic potential. His argument is more detailed than that, but Spencer always tunes out after the first couple of minutes. It's kind of funny watching Ryan get all worked up. He goes all red in the face and starts inflecting. It makes Spencer laugh. Still, Spencer ends up standing at the side of the gym, scanning the bleachers to see if he can pick Ryan out. He's usually sitting in a corner somewhere, trying to read, and only throwing his arms in the air when it looks like one of the teachers is going to come over and confiscate his book. Spencer spots him just before the principal calls his name, and he catches Ryan's eye and grins before he jogs out onto the middle of the gym as the student body cheers. Pep rallies are never going to stop freaking him out, he thinks. It's one thing having people high-five him in the hallways and clap him on the back in the cafeteria. It's another to have everyone cheering his name when he's not even out in the field, actually playing. It feels pretty good, though. There aren't exactly a lot of schools that play rugby, so their competition is mostly made up of other private schools who bus in from way outside the state. It's kind of a big deal, because the fly half is the most important position on the team Spencer has to go out with the coach and the principal to go meet the other team when they pull into the parking lot. Him and the team captain, and whoever was most valuable player last time they played. Mostly it means hanging out in the parking lot, trying to make conversation with the principal and his gym teacher. Usually Ryan comes out and leans on Spencer's bike and points and sniggers, but today he's nowhere to be seen. Spencer sends him a covert text. "Where are you? You're normally here to laugh at me by now." His phone vibrates in his pocket a minute later. "Got detention for being late to class this morning, and blaming you. You owe me." Spencer hides his laugh in his sleeve. "No way," he texts back. "That's really funny." "Am dreaming up ways of making you pay," Ryan texts. "Yeah, I'm shaking in my shoes." Spencer presses send, and almost before he's sliding his phone into his pocket, he's pulling it back out again. "You're still coming to see me play, right?" There's a pause, then his phone buzzes. "Yeah, front and center." Spencer grins and tries to pay attention to his coach's game plan. The teams are pretty evenly matched. Their fly half is a tall, straight-back senior named Flag, who shakes hands with Spencer and then tells him in an undertone, "We're gonna take you down." Spencer just rolls his eyes, shakes his head, and says, "I'd like to see you try." Flag just laughs, claps Spencer on the back, and says, "See you on the field, Smith." Spencer likes Flag. They've been playing against each other since Spencer's freshman year. He's a more precise kick than Spencer, focused and long-limbed. He's fast, but Spencer's quick. Spencer's kicking percentages are higher because he kicks more. They're both strong, but Spencer's center of gravity is lower. Spencer rolls his shoulders and turns back to Zach, who's crowding his team around him and telling them they're going to win. Spencer cheers with the rest of them. He fucking loves rugby. The game is fast and furious and dirty. By halftime, Zach, sporting a black eye and a split eyebrow, hurriedly taped together by the coach and the school nurse 15 minutes into the game. Spencer's muddy and covered in grass stains. The score is 6-6, 2 drop kicks from him and 2 from Flag. They've lost a couple of lineouts. Coach O'Brien is going to ream the forwards for their fumbles. The scrums are good, and the backs are running well, but there's something missing. Possession is more or less equal, but neither team are making it near the try line. Defense is good, but their attacking sucks. Spencer's already running through their plays, through the other team's weaknesses. Nate Graham is a good scrum half, and he's quick, but Flag doesn't protect him enough. If he can intercept, he takes a deep breath and reaches for one of the water bottles as the coach outlines the strategy for the second half. They're 10 minutes into the second half when Brent, one of their backs, breaks away and manages a run most of the way down the pitch. The other team are hot on his heels, and Brent makes a quick pass to where Spencer's waiting. It all seems too easy, like time's moving in slow motion. He makes the catch, and he can see Flag out of the corner of his eye, making a run to tackle Spencer down and out of play. He finds an extra burst of speed from somewhere, and Flag's left catching Spencer's shin with his fingertips, going down and leaving Spencer with a clear run to the try line. He knows there are other players running after him. He can hear the screams of the crowd and his team shouting. He throws himself down over the try line, making the try by a clear margin. He feels his knee twist as he lands. The crowd erupts and the screams are deafening. But Spencer can't get up. Pain lightning sparks its way up from his knee down to his ankle and up to his thigh. He bites down on his lip until he can taste blood, and he rolls onto his side, the pain leaving him breathless. He squeezes his eyes shut, but he can't stop the tears from escaping. The crowd falls silent, and then the coach is pushing through his teammates and kneeling beside him, and someone's calling for an ambulance. Spencer doesn't remember much after that. The ER is really busy because it's Friday night. Even though it's early, there are still people throwing up into cardboard bowls, and if Spencer wasn't trying to concentrate on not throwing up from the pain himself, he'd be really grossed out. His mom is with him, holding his hand. and Ryan's out in the waiting room because he refuses to go home. Spencer's dad's gone to pick up the girls and drop them off at Spencer's grandma's. Spencer wishes he were here. He wants his dad. The pain is stupid. He feels like he can't think of anything outside of how it hurts. He's thrown up twice already. His mom smoothing his hair away from his forehead and holding his hand. He's had x-rays, but every movement of the trolley down the hallway meant that pain ricocheted up and down his leg until he was breathless from trying not to cry. They'd given him painkillers, but he hadn't been able to keep them down, and they'd been forced to put in a line instead. So now he's got a needle taped into the back of his hand. His dad's back by the time he's back from his MRI scan. They think it's ligament damage, his mom tells his dad in an undertone. Spencer squeezes his eyes shut and tries to think of anything other than the pain. Ryan's still there a few hours later. Spencer can see him pacing the waiting room and refusing to go home every time the doors at the end of the hallway open. When Spencer finally persuades them to let him in to see him, Ryan just rolls his eyes at him across the bed and takes Spencer's mom's seat when she goes down to the cafeteria to get a cup of coffee. You ever fucking scare me like that again, Ryan says after a minute, and I'll take you out myself, you hear? Sure thing, Spencer says, and tries to smile. They've strapped his knee up. It's tight and it hurts. He's got it elevated on some sort of foam block underneath the sheets. He wiggles his toes uncertainly. He's still covered in mud from the rugby game. He's not sure he wants to think about what he might smell like. Does it hurt much? Ryan asks. He's touching at the sheets with the tips of his fingers. Yeah, Spencer says, letting out a long breath. Yeah, he says again, because it really fucking does. Okay, Ryan says, and he twines his fingers with Spencer's. You can, you know, squeeze if you need to, or whatever. Spencer holds on tight and tries not to cry. They let him home a couple of hours later, the doctor passing his dad a bag of pain meds as he signs all the paperwork. His mom takes the crutches they're going to make Spencer use. There's an information sheet, too, but Spencer doesn't want to read it just yet. He's asked about rugby, and he knows the answer. A month off, bare minimum, and probably rehab. He feels nauseated. One of the nurses wheels him out to his dad's car, and Ryan walks beside the wheelchair. Spencer wants to hold someone's hand again, because he might be a fucking junior, and almost an adult, and the fly half for his rugby team. But it hurts, and he's tired, and he's scared, and he wants to go home. They have to help him up and out of the chair and into his dad's car. He's breathless with the pain, because he can't get in without bending his knee, not even with the help. He leans back in his seat, and Ryan climbs in behind him and puts his hand on Spencer's shoulder, squeezing. Spencer rests his head on Ryan's hand. His mom comes round to the side of the car and kisses his forehead, helping him on with his seatbelt. Every moment of the journey home hurts. He doesn't sleep well. He can't get comfortable, and he hates sleeping on his back, and the covers are too heavy on his leg. His dad makes him a nest of pillows, so he's half sitting up. His dad's taken all the pillows from Crystal and Jackie's beds, because they're staying with Grandma, and two from his and Spencer's mom's bed, too. It's uncomfortable, and it hurts, and he wakes up every time his knee brushes against the sheets, or he tries to turn over in his sleep. He wakes up when the painkillers wear off, and he needs to go to the bathroom. He's not used to managing the crutches, and he can't move without it hurting. He gets to the bathroom just in time, but he can't stand up without the crutches, and it's the middle of the night, and he's desperate. He kind of half wets himself, and he can't help it. He just cries. He's burning red with embarrassment when his mom comes to find him. She's brisk and kind, and Spencer hates every moment of it. He leans against the side of the bath while his mom goes downstairs to get a chair from the dining room. She leaves it right by the toilet, so he's got something to hold on to in the future. She waits outside while he shrugs out of his pajama pants and into a clean pair, and then she helps him back into his room. She stays with him while he waits for the painkiller to kick in, and she's the last thing he remembers before he falls asleep. Ryan comes over after lunch. He brings Star Wars and The Girl Next Door on DVD with him. And when he comes up to Spencer's bedroom, Spencer's mom is following, and she's carrying two plates of sandwiches. "You should try and eat these," his mom says, after Spencer makes a face. "You won't feel so sick when you take your meds if you've eaten something." Spencer doesn't believe her. He doesn't believe anything at the moment, other than the time ticking by on his alarm clock, counting down until his next pill. Still, Ryan comes and sits beside him, pulling a chair up to the side of the bed and nudging Spencer in the arm. "Dude," Ryan says, and Spencer manages a grin. Ryan's an idiot. "I can't believe I'm coming over to sit by your sick bed. We shouldn't be in some Russian novel or something." "You wish," Spencer says. He pushes his sandwich across his plate. His mom's even cut the crust off, which she hasn't done since he was 7, and she told him he was being ridiculous and she wasn't pandering to him anymore. Spencer had frowned and then eaten his crusts. "I'll be back in 10 minutes, his mom says from the doorway. "I expect you to have eaten those, Spencer, and there will be trouble if you haven't."
"I'm sick, Mom," Spencer grumbles.
"And don't you be getting Ryan to eat them for you either," she says. "He might need feeding up, but not from your plate, okay?"
"Mom," Spencer says, as Ryan says, "Mrs. Smith."
She rolls her eyes. "I'll bring you boys up some orange juice. And try and make him smile, will you, Ryan? He's been Mr. Cranky Pants all morning."
"Mr. Cranky Pants?" Ryan says, with a smirk, when Spencer's mom is already halfway down the stairs.
"Shut up," Spencer grumbles. "It hurts, okay? You'd be cranky too."
"Yeah," Ryan says, but he doesn't stop grinning. "Mr. Cranky Pants."
"Put the DVD on," Spencer says, "before I have to hurt you." Ryan pokes him in the side.
"I'm an invalid," Spencer yelps.
But he shifts wrong and pain sparks up his leg.
"Fuck."
"Shit," Ryan says. Sorry, fuck, are you okay?"
"Yeah," Spencer manages, hissing in a breath.
"Yeah, it's fine. Put the DVD on."
"Okay," Ryan says, after a moment. He watches Spencer carefully.
"Star Wars?"
"Sure," Spencer says, but he doesn't much care. He watches his alarm clock, counting down the minutes until it's time for his next pain med.